Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know that you were too sincere in saying good morning.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, I wasn't. Man, I left the house this morning. It was 34 degrees. I said, what? Am I in Poland or am I in Texas? Shoot. That stuff's cold, you know. Whew. Anyways, please open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. It's between the book of Genesis and Malachi. Chapter 8. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. We'll pick it up at verse 19. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the herd of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of my daughter? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? That's why you bring your Bible, so that you can follow on when the preacher doesn't get it right. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Strange times when Jeremiah spoke these words. Difficult times. I think a lot of us can associate with them. I think it's without a doubt that we're living in strange and difficult times. I think things that 50 years ago were taken for granted, now we pray and we beg God, Lord, bring back the former days.
Amen.
It used to be different. I'm not that old. I remember it being different. I remember the freedom that we had. I remember the free course that the Spirit had. I remember the church being healthy. I remember people being saved and lives being changed. In good, in big numbers too. It doesn't seem to be the case anymore, does it? I know from first-hand experience. I mean, I've been preaching the gospel for, man, a long time now. And it's just not so. Please consider the context of this, of these words. Here's the city, the army of the opposing army has surrounded the city, has cut off the food supply, the water supply, and is just waiting, is just holding out. Isn't attacking, isn't being forceful, isn't intruding, it's just waiting. They're saying, we'll wait you out. We're going to starve you out. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible tragedy. Just imagine, let your minds imagine what's going on in that city. We have it described in different places. We've heard the stories of people eating things that we can't even imagine. And honestly, I don't even want to talk about. They're so hideous and so shameful. Absolute disgust and absolute tragedy. So the prophet Jeremiah looks over the wall and he looks out and he sees the fields where the people would have worked. And they planted and they sowed, and there are all the crops. Food in abundance. Food available. In sight. Near. You can almost smell it. You can almost reach out and touch it. It's right there. Tells me something. tells me that you can be in a church where the Word of God is preached, where you can see it all around you, you can feel it, you can see the Spirit moving, and you yourself can be starving to death. That is a horrible, horrible thought. You might even be in the church and not even be a child of God. Everybody around you is saved and singing praises to Jesus Christ. And you know there's something there, but you just don't know what it is. The word is preached. Salvation is given. The invitation is to you, but you don't know what's going on. It's a strange and horrible and sorry sight, to say the very least.
Amen.
Summer's ended. You're going to face a long winter, and you don't have a food supply. The Old Testament, very often, the prophets that were sent, the men of God that were sent with the word, very often they spoke of bad and gloomy days to come. They spoke the truth. I think anybody who opens up the Old Testament and reads the words inspired by God, they can see God's wrath. They can see the judgment. They can see the gloom. They can see the dark side of sin. Every prophet that came speaking God's word said, "Thus saith the Lord." But every prophet, and you'll find this throughout the Old Testament, every prophet without exception, whenever he was preaching God's wrath and God's judgment, God's justice and God's vengeance on man, every single one of them preached at the same time the word of hope.
Amen.
Now, it wasn't always long. It wasn't always an extended sermon. Sometimes it was just one word. Sometimes it was just a paragraph. Sometimes it was just a verse. But either which way, God's mercy was handed out and was extended and was offered for all those that were willing to hear the word and to convert and to repent from their sins. They had the offer. All throughout the Old Testament. And so is the case even in these darkest days of the children of Israel. The question is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then isn't the hurt of my people healed? Doesn't God save? Is there no Savior? Brother Brian, is there no priest to intercede for us? Why then are we not healed? Why then are we brokenhearted and overcome with grief and sorrow? Why are we in despair? Why does it seem that we are without hope? Maybe because we say it. Maybe we just don't believe it. Why is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We speak great and magnificent things about Jesus Christ. We talk about how he's Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God manifested in the flesh. We talk about him being God with us. We talk about him carrying all of our sins. We talk about him being the very Son of God. We talk about him being our kinsman redeemer. We talk about him being the Savior of the world. We talk about his glorious and magnificent and higher than the heavens name of Jesus. And we preach him, and we preach, yes, salvation. I mean, come on, guys. Why are we saved? Why is the summer past and we're not saved? Can't he do it? Can God save?
Amen.
Can the balm of Gilead heal the wound? Can it recover us? Does the physician know how to implement and how to apply the medicine? Why then is the hurt of my people not recovered? Why then, maybe even among us today, is there someone not saved? Why then, child of God, are you so brokenhearted? It's worth finding the answer to that question. What can He do? What can your God do? What can Jesus Christ do in your life? Yes, the wound is great. How great is your Savior? Yes, your sorrow, it's overwhelming. How overwhelming can Jesus Christ be? I mean, I boil it down to just how big is your God?
Amen.
Is He bigger than your problem?
Amen.
Is He bigger than your sin?
Amen.
Is He bigger than your wound? Amen. Is He bigger than your conflict? Is He bigger than your fear? How big is He?
Amen.
Find the answer to that question. Experiment with it. Experiment with God. God says, "Oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good."
Amen.
You have to come. You have to taste. You have to see. Just how good, just how big is He? This balm of Gilead, I want to talk to you about it for just a moment. Gilead, it's a rocky place. Somebody said it's the wilderness side of the promised land. Rocky area, stony area. People don't go out to this place for no reason. You don't go for a stroll in Gilead. There's just rocks and mountains and dry ground. Kind of like Michael's place. You're walking on rocks. He didn't even have to build a foundation. He just built his house on the ground because it's rocks. It's a stony place. This Gilead goes all the way back to the time of Joseph when he was down there in that well, cast in by his brother. Remember that story? There were some merchants coming by, and they were on their way to Egypt. Where were they coming from? They were coming from Gilead. What did they have with them? Oh, they had some ointments, and they had some balm. They'd gone into that rocky place, that stony place. They'd gone in there and they found this tree, this bush, this shrub, and they'd taken some of that ointment, and they said, "This can bring healing to the people of Egypt. This can bring healing, and the people of Egypt can be recovered." And they went down to sell it. Let me tell you, there's another rocky place right outside of the gates of Jerusalem.
Amen.
That we've heard of for sure. Some people call it Calvary. Some people call it Golgotha. Other people have called it the place of the skull. And people just don't wander out there by chance and for interest. If you go out to that rocky place and you go out there, you have to go out there by purpose with premeditation. If you go out to that rocky place called Calvary, you'll find balm for your soul.
Amen.
To recover the wound of your heart. You don't just get there by chance. It's not you just stumble onto this road or onto this place. You have to go out there with purpose. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't just say, "Okay, here you go. Let me grab this group of people and let me show them the way out here." No, no, no. He says, "I'm here. Whosoever is willing, let him come." But you have to come out to that place called Calvary. You have to go out to that place where the balm of Gilead is freely offered, freely given, and freely available. There's only one person today standing between you and hell. There's only one person today standing between you and peace with God. And it's you yourself. Nobody else. Oh, if you would come, if you would take of that balm, if you would come to that physician, you would find that immediately your wound would be recovered. Immediately you would find that your burden is off of your back. You'd find Christ is able to save you to the uttermost.
Amen.
But you have to come. You have to be willing to go out to that rocky place called Gilead. You have to leave your place of comfort. You have to leave this place that you feel sure of. And you have to go out to Him. He says, come. His arms are wide open. His invitation is true. His word is perfect. And it's safe. And it's promised on His name. His word is given on the character of His name. Only one person standing between you and heaven. You and hell. That's you. This balm. It's interesting about this balm, about this medicine. Because the same thing that can be used to heal you can be the very thing that can kill you, right? I mean, a lot of you are on prescription medicine. Every bottle says, only take two. Don't take more than three per day. My daddy, he was quite sick. He went to the doctor's office. The doctor said, man, you're really, really sick. So he prescribed him some medicine. He took that medicine home. He set it on the counter. And he opened it up. And he took two tablets out. And he's just about to swallow it. And my mom comes home. Hey, honey, what you doing? I'm just taking this medicine. Let me see that medicine. Penicillin. That same medicine would have killed him. Might have healed you, but it would have killed him. You see, this balm, it has to be applied in the right way. It can't just be applied in any way. Like, for example, there are some physicians of the world that say, well, because the balm is available, because the balm was spilt on that stony place called Calvary, then we're all healed. But that's not true. And that's led to the perdition and condemnation of thousands upon thousands of millions of people. Because so many people have died in hope, saying, I'm healed. And they've said peace to themselves when there was no peace. How many people go to church Sunday morning? After the sacraments and after the mass, they go into that little box that Brother Brian was speaking of, and they confess their sins, and that doctor, that physician, he applies that balm, but he applies it in the wrong way, and he walks out of that box saying peace. And God said, there is no peace. False sense of hope, false sense of surety, false sense of salvation. This medicine has to be applied in the right manner. That's why the Bible says right here in our text, he says, is there no balm? Is there no physician? Jesus Christ, he came and he gave us the balm, he gave us the blood, he gave us the medicine that can heal our wound, that can heal our sin, but he applies it. If you don't come to him, to have Him apply it to your hearts, it does you absolutely no good. Jesus Christ is that great physician that can heal the wound of your heart and of your soul. This tree that we're talking about, this, that we get this balm from, it gives out little white leaves. It's not a very big tree, not a very tall tree. It's only about 3-5 feet tall. It gives out these white leaves. These white leaves, I think, speak to me, about the purity of God's Word. They say that whenever you bite into it, it's a, It's a little bitter. It's got a bite to it. A sharp taste. But whenever you swallow it, it's wholesome to the health. It's just like God's Word. You open it up and, come on guys, the first time that you open God's Word, I don't like that taste. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous.
Amen.
No, not one. They're all gone out of the way. They have all become unprofitable. How does that taste? It's a little hard to swallow, isn't it? You've come short of the glory of God. The apostle Paul said, I count all of my righteousness, the best of the best that I have to offer, is but waste. It's dung.
Amen.
How do you feel about that? How does that taste? It's a little bitter, isn't it?
Yep.
You see, because the Bible doesn't tell you that, oh, your wickedness is as filthy rags. It doesn't say that your weakness is as filthy rags. It doesn't tell you that your worst day is a filthy rag. He says all of your righteousness
Amen.
Is as filthy
Amen.
Rags
Amen.
And counted as nothing. If you were to put it all into the scale and weigh it in God's scale of righteousness and judgment, it would be lighter than vanity. It leaves you with a bitter taste. Oh, but once you swallow that truth of God's Word, oh, once that gets into your soul and you realize that you are without hope, without God in this world, without any justice and without any righteousness of yourself before God. Oh, you know what that does? That leads you to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Leads you to a place where you come to church, you come to the temple, you come to the place where God appointed, and you said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
Leads you to come to the right conclusion. Say, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son.
Amen.
Make me as one of your servants. It's wholesome
yes.
to the health. It's wholesome to your soul and to your heart. That balm of Gilead, that tree, out there in that stony place, leaves a bitter taste in your mouth, but it's wholesome to your health. The only way that they get this balm out of this tree is by piercing it, putting a little cut into it, and they let the sap drain out. And they have little vials underneath these cuts and these piercings that they make in it, that they put in it. That sap drains down into these vials and they take it and they go sell it. Before the body of Jesus Christ was pierced and cut and broken for you, it did you absolutely no good. Jesus Christ said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this, do this in remembrance of me. His body was broken. His hands were pierced. His feet were pierced. His side was pierced. His back was cut. His head was cut for you. And he says, my body is broken for you.
Amen.
Through his stripes,
yes.
we are healed.
Amen.
His piercings were our healing. His condemnation is our salvation.
Amen.
His death, our life.
Amen.
This precious balm of Gilead, it's in the city. It's not without the wall. It's not far out of reach. You don't have to say, oh, How shall I ascend into heaven? It's so close to us. It's right here. It's preached among us. God didn't manifest it in heaven. He didn't speak some dark and strange and dead language. He spoke it in our own languages. He became man. He humbled himself. He walked among us so that it might be available to us.
Amen.
I shall dwell with them. Why? Because he is that great physician. He brings that precious balm, the balm of Gilead, to save your soul, to heal your wounded heart. Question remains then, if it's so potent, if it's so great, so ready, available, and as good as advertised, why then are we not healed? Well, several reasons come to mind. Who needs a physician?
Sick.
They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Until you recognize your need of a physician,
amen,
why would you take the medicine? Why would you take the balm? Without a need, you don't go. Let me tell you something. Each and every one of us needs this balm.
Amen.
The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. A lot of people cough, but they just put it off. It's just a cough, just a cold. I'll get over it. Past experiences. This bothered me in the past. I got over it. It lasted about a week, about a month. But all is well now. Carry on your merry way. A lot of people take a painkiller, put a band-aid on, patch it up. It'll be better later. Oh, so a lot of us, we come to church, take a painkiller, sing a couple of good songs, feel all oozy and warm inside. Yeah, I'm feeling much better about myself now. Let me go on my merry way. A lot of people, before eating lunch, before eating dinner, throw up a quick prayer to God. Thank you, God, for this food. Yeah, I'm feeling much better now.
Right.
I feel great. A lot of people go out, they see the needy, they give them some money. They say, okay, I'm all right. I'm feeling good about myself. No, no, you don't understand. The sin in your life reaches a whole lot deeper than your band-aid can cover.
Amen.
That sin in your blood, in your life, is not just a wound in your skin, it's in your blood. It's in your heart, and it's killing you.
Yep.
It's deadly.
Amen.
It's lethal. And you're dying.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. Put a band-aid on it. Take a aspirin. Take a painkiller. You're gonna die. Without that balm of Gilead. Without that medicine. Without that ointment provided by the great physician. Another reason is that they obviously had expectation of being healed from other sources. Kind of like that woman that had that blood issue for how long? 12 years, if I remember correctly. And she went to literally every physician that she knew in hopes of being healed. She didn't go to the physician, she went to a physician. Why go to the physician whenever I have another physician ready, available? A lot of people have expectations of salvation other than that balm of Gilead that God provided. Some people hope in their own righteousness. Maybe you do here tonight. Maybe you think that you're just not that bad and that you're that good. Maybe you're better than me. I hope you are. I'm just a wretched sinner. Maybe you're better than everybody in this auditorium. Let's say and let's assume, let's give you the benefit of the doubt, you're the best person in our great country. The question that you need to ask yourself is, are you as good as Jesus Christ?
That's right.
That's the right question.
Amen.
Because every other person in this auditorium, in this great country of ours, are sinners.
That's right.
And we are all short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And so if you compare yourself and you're greater than us, that doesn't mean that you're in. God's standard was, is, and always will be Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's God's standard of judgment. How do you compare to Him? Do you love your neighbors as Christ loved His neighbors? Do you turn your cheek as Christ turned His cheek to His smiters? Do you go out and seek and save that which is lost? Whenever you see that Jew left to die in his own blood, you Samaritan, do you go every single day of your life, go out and help him? Come on, man. Stop deceiving yourself. Stop pretending. Yes, you're better than me, but you're nowhere near close as being as good as Christ.
Amen.
Maybe that's your hope. Maybe that's your expectation. Some people expect to be healed by God's love. God is love. God is love. God's love will heal me. You know, love can cover a multitude of sins, they say. You know, God winked at that time of ignorance because He was love. Is that your expectation? Is that your hope, that God is love? You think that because God is love, that He doesn't despise your sin? What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1? About the Son of God. That He loved, yes, righteousness, but He hated iniquity and unrighteousness. That same God of love wrote you a book.
Amen.
And that book is repeat of example after example after example of that same God of love, because He loves righteousness and judgment, condemning wicked sinners that would not repent of their ways, of their evil ways, and of their sin, to an eternity of hell. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember the world before the flood? Remember that man that just trying to do his best, seeing the thing fall over, reached up with his hand to catch it from falling, and God smote him and killed him right away because he dared approach to a holy and righteous God. And God said, I hate all unrighteousness. Remember that man? Remember how God said, I will in no wise justify the wicked. Remember God saying that?
Yep.
Maybe your expectation is that God will just simply overlook it because He's love. He said, I will in no wise.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me ask you one more question. Remember that one time, that great man, that great Samaritan Remember that man of Galilee, son of Mary? Remember that man? Some called him the Son of Man, some called him the Son of God. Remember that man? We know him today as Jesus Christ. Remember that day that he promised and agreed to become surety for you? And said, your debt is my debt. Do you remember what the all-loving God did to that man? He put him on a cross. He condemned him. He sent him to hell. Because that God of love is a despiser of unrighteousness.
Amen.
The Bible says that God made him sin for us. And that man cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even Jesus Christ, when he agreed to become sin for you and become surety and take your debts onto his account, was rejected of God. Are you still hoping in God's love? God's love is true, and it's stronger than the grave. Yes, absolutely. But God's love is manifested in this, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. And if you, through faith, trust in His righteousness and His death, burial, and resurrection, God will pardon you, will not impute to you your sins and your unrighteousness, and God will impute to you the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He will call you righteous because of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Maybe you have a false sense of hope. Maybe you find hope somewhere else. Maybe you say God doesn't see. Oh, don't be foolish.
Amen.
How can God that created the eye not see?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe God doesn't hear. Come on. He created your ear. He doesn't hear. Maybe I conclude that many people in that city, in that dying city, yes, recognized and knew and were acquainted with that balm. Yes, have you heard of Jesus Christ saving? Of course he saves. Ah, have you heard of those Christians over there on 602 Oak Knoll? They talk about and they sing about, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Man, we've heard, yes. Maybe you've heard the story 1,000 times before. Oh, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Oh, if you would just come. Yes, I know. It was available. It was potent enough. But it just wasn't applied. If you would just come, he would save.
Amen.
If you would humble yourselves and come to and accept his invitation, you would find forgiveness of sins, you'd be reborn, you'd be sanctified, and you would, yes, be saved perfectly.
Yeah.
If you would just but come. This balm of Gilead is a medicine. And like medicine, it has to be applied. The fact that this medicine is available and that it's produced and that it's marketed and that it's sold and that it's on your counter, in your house, in your kitchen, cannot heal you. You can have every word of God all over your house and you can sing His praises. But until by faith, you apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your individual heart, you are not saved.
Amen.
Look at Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Verse 9, This is Peter giving testimony of what God has already done, testifying of his experience with Cornelius, who heard the word, believed the word, and according to this verse right here, verse 9, God put no difference between Cornelius and the apostles, between you and the saints of God, between you and those that walked with God. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts. How? By faith.
Amen.
By faith. If you don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not saved. You cannot be saved. The balm is there. The physician is there. Thank God. But your wound is not healed, is not recovered. But every single man, woman, and child that has recognized this balm, that has come to this physician and simply asked to be recovered and asked to be treated through faith, was and is forevermore recovered and healed. Isn't that true? Isn't that your testimony? Isn't that your testimony? Isn't that your testimony? It's my testimony. I was at the physician. I took that medicine, that ointment, that balm, and he healed me of all of my sins. The verse was read, Colossians chapter 1. I think it was read this morning. No, Brother Brian read chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 14, in whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, the physician, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Well, wait a second. Which sins? Look at chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you,
thank you, Lord,
all trespasses. You see, Jesus Christ didn't die to help you along the way.
Right.
He didn't give up his health and his life and his holiness to make you feel a little bit better, to give you that painkiller, that ease of consciousness that you want. He died to take that disease out of your body.
Amen.
Out completely and totally.
Amen.
Fully save you 100%.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is that great physician.
Amen.
His blood is that balm of Gilead. There's a song that we sing. It goes like this: conscience of the deep pollution, sinners wander in the night. Though they hear the shepherd calling, they still fear to face the night. This the blessed consolation that can help the heart of stone, that sweet balm of Gilead reaches deeper than the stain.
Amen.
Has gone. Your sin is as bad and is as lethal and is as wicked as every hard, hardcore, strong, unsympathetic preacher has ever preached. It's probably even worse. But the blood of Jesus Christ is that much better and
Amen.
Greater
Amen.
And pure and stronger.
Amen.
And it reaches farther, farther, farther than the stain in your body has ever gone. Oh, come to him today.
Yes.
Trust him today.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Today
Amen.
Is the convenient day. Today is the day that you can be saved and healed of your sin.
Amen.
Don't put it off for a more convenient time. Don't look for solution or for a cure or for remedy anywhere else. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus Christ, our great physician, it says that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only remedy.
Amen.
He's not a remedy. He is the only remedy.
Amen.
All that believe in His name are saved from all things that soever the law of Moses could not save them by. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've heard of Him, you see Him around you, you know it's true, don't tarry till it's too late. Don't put it off. Come to Jesus and be saved. Amen.